Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, AFR. On this Thursday, what is it, Walker? What's today?
April 4th.
April the 4th, 2019. We welcome you to our program. Walker Wildman along with Chris Woodard.
Yeah.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Chris representing our all-star news team over at American Family Radio on onenewsnow.com.
My co-tag team partner, Steve Jordan, will be here in the next hour. We're taking on the world. We're going for the belt. Tag team champions.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a good attitude.
Good to have a goal.
It's good to have a goal.
The Newsboys is our wrestling name.
I think that's already taken.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Steve, get on that.
Ray Pritchard, Dr. Ray Pritchard, joins us from Kansas City. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing today?
Doing well. Weather report for Kansas City today.
Oh, man. It's just too cold up here.
Really?
And it's raining. Tim, I am so – aren't you ready for some sunshine and spring weather? And I mean, not just to come for 2 days, but stick around for a while.
Hallelujah.
Right?
Yeah.
I can't – yes, absolutely. Amen. Let it be.
Brother. It rained for like 30 days straight in February here in Mississippi. Mark it down.
Yeah, it's just been depressing. We haven't seen 3 days of sunshine in a row since November, I guess. Maybe it's the same way with you guys there in Kansas City. So to answer your question emphatically, yes, I'm looking forward to I'm looking at the weather. I see what you're talking about. Some more rain coming off.
It's just a mess.
Yeah. So maybe
we need some golf weather, Tim.
I'm telling you what. You know, I'm ready to go out and hit a golf ball where I don't have to go out and find my golf ball when I do find it, you know, buried halfway in the mud.
Right.
You know, that's just no fun, and that's going to stunt my game if this continues. So we're going to have to have some dry weather so I can get out there and start hitting the ball around. We got a lot to talk about today.
We do.
Jan Markell is going to be on, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Talk about the election coming mm-hmm. up in Israel.
Big election coming up.
Then we got Dr. Alex McFarland. What's Alex going to talk about, Ray?
He's going to talk about a couple of amazing archaeological discoveries, some little seals that were dug out of the rubble over in Jerusalem that provide amazing authentication of the truth of the Old Testament. And this stuff, Tim, is brand new, just recently hit the news a few days ago.
Yeah, folks, so if you're one of the – maybe you're a new Christian and you've been a skeptic about the Bible. Maybe you're not a Christian and you're still a skeptic about the Bible. Right? We invite you to listen up because of what Alex is going to share and what Ray will be commenting on too as well later on this hour. I think it will give you reason to reconsider the authenticity, the historical accuracy of the book we know as the Bible. So we're going to be talking about that a little bit later on. In the program. All right, Chris, lead us off.
Well,
today.
Facing multiple allegations now.
Multiple?
Multiple allegations, various allegations, from various women now about violating their personal space. Vice President Joe Biden sought to kind of set the record straight and maybe even apologize for his behavior. This is clip one.
But today I want to talk about just as a support and encouragement that I've made to women and some men and have made them uncomfortable. It's the way I've always been. It's the way I've tried to show I care about them and I'm listening. And over the years, knowing what I've been through, the things that I've faced, I've found that scores, if not hundreds of people have come up to me and reached out for solace and comfort, something, anything that may help them get through the tragedy they're going through. And Now it's all about taking selfies together. Social norms have begun to change, they've shifted, and the boundaries of protecting personal space have been reset. And I get it.
Now, for people that maybe have not paid as much attention to this as others, among the things that women have said he's done, he's walked
How
up
many
behind
women?
Them. Oh, we're at like half a dozen right now, at least, that have come forward since end of last week.
Those are some without pictures.
Some without pictures, yes. But they're saying that he's like walked up behind them, smelled their hair, rubbed their shoulders. One woman thought he was going to kiss her. another woman, he like rubbed his nose on hers.
Mm-hmm.
And these were various Democratic Party supporters, some of which were even staffers for members of Congress and candidates for Congress. I do have a clip here. This is, let's go to clip six. This is Matthew Continetti of the Washington Free Beacon. He was on Fox News last night with Brett Baer. And Continetti says the Biden video highlighted all of Biden's weaknesses and shows he's out of date.
You can make a human connection without sniffing somebody's hair. And I think that's Joe Biden's problem. The video highlighted all of his weaknesses. His voice seemed frail. The production values were poor. He wasn't framed very well. He was very pale. And he confesses that social norms have passed him by, which means he's out of date, which is exactly what Democrats are worried about him entering the race. This is another bad moment for Biden in several weeks of bad news. It makes me wonder whether he actually will pull the trigger and enter the race.
Now, I do think he's on point there talking about the quality of the video. I mean, you guys heard it. It's not like it was a polished, well-produced type thing. It was like a home camera that they, you know, did a raw recording with and posted it on social media, things like that. Do you think he's doomed? Like, is it over before it even started for Joe?
I don't think so. I don't think so, only because this is behavior that's been public knowledge for decades.
Yeah.
So this is not breaking news to anybody that Uncle Joe likes to be a little touchy-feely in public with strangers.
Well, you must have not listened to this here show yesterday, Walker, because I said he's toast.
You said he's toast.
Yeah, I'm going to respectfully disagree with you, my youngest son. I'm going to say that he... Okay, I said toast. I think I said toast. I don't think he's going to recover from this. And even though his media friends are trying to save him,
right?
Because they know that he's their best chance to beat President Trump. You are correct when you say a lot of this has been out there for a while,
right?
But it's now being brought back up with some new allegations. And in light of the Me Too movement, it puts people who want to run, particularly as Democrats, at the top of their ticket, especially if they're a white, older male.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, you got it. It presents some problems for a lot of the left-wing women out there. Ray, how do you see all this?
Well, I think both you guys are right. I mean, Walker is 100% correct. We've known this for years.
Right.
This is not a news flash. He's a grabber. He's a hugger. He's done some things in the past that it just makes you squirm when you watch him being
cringeworthy.
Thank you. That's better. Yeah. Cringeworthy. I mean, so this isn't anything new, but I tell you what I believe is happening, Tim. I think ultimately you're right. I don't see how he survives this because I believe that the other candidates, I don't want to say exactly are behind this, but I think the Democrat power brokers know that in the end, if it comes down to a match between him and Donald Trump, Joe Biden cannot win.
Right.
He might be leading in the polls right now, but he cannot beat Mr. Trump. And I think the party is going to use this as an excuse to say, Uncle Joe, don't run. We don't want you in. So, yeah, I think he's toast in the sense that either he's not going to get in, or if he does, he's not going to stick around very long.
Right, and I've mentioned this in recent days, but, you know, he first ran in 1988, and he dropped out because he plagiarized a speech. And then he ran again the second time in 2008, couldn't get any good polling enough to pass Hillary and Obama, and then Obama made him the vice president. Here he is today, I guess, thinking he's owed it.
Joe Biden was the one, I mean, people talk about President Trump's mistakes when he speaks sometimes. Mm-hmm. I don't know. King of gaffes is Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm. He really is.
And I remember when Joe Biden, then Democrat candidate for president, was running against one Barack Obama, himself a Democrat candidate for president. So they were rivals in that sense. And Joe Biden talked about the fact that Barack Obama cleaned up well, basically. Huh?
Yeah.
Huh? You remember that?
He did. He also told an Arab guy in somewhere in the Northeast that whenever you go into a 7-Eleven in whatever state they were in, it's nothing but people from India. And right. It's, I mean, you can right. look it up. It's well
That's
documented.
True. He did say that.
Not politically correct.
But he said something about Barack Obama, like he cleaned up well and he was articulate. What was left out there in the that people were that he didn't say was hey, doing pretty good for a black fella. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? That's the insinuation that Joe Biden was making. Now maybe he didn't mean any harm in it, you know, or he probably wouldn't have said it out loud like that.
But coming from the party of PC.
But had that been from a conservative, then it would have been a racist comment.
I found the quote. 2006, in Delaware, he said, and I quote, "You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent." And that was an NBC News story.
Oh, brother.
That was Joe Gaff Biden.
Uncle Joe.
crazy Uncle Joe Biden. I don't know. He is worth some laughs. I'll give him that. But,
yeah.
I think he'll be rejected not because of these allegations or these pictures or videos. I think he's going to be rejected by his own party because they're too far left.
Right.
The base has moved so far left,
right?
Or they've been so far left that they're going to reject Joe Biden because he's a moderate.
Yeah, Joe Biden's going to have to explain his positions of the past four decades, which are too far to the right.
Yes,
for today's left wing, far left wing, quote progressive. Democrat Party. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, one thing's for sure, the next year, if you like politics for entertainment, it's get out the popcorn for the Democrats. I know they did that for the Republicans last time when President Trump, then Donald Trump ran, and you had, remember the 10 or so candidates you had ever up on stage? You know, Lion Ted mm-hmm. and
Little Marco,
right. and then you had low energy Jeb.
Jeb.
Anyway, it was the Republicans, mm-hmm. and President Trump did. Candidate Trump did. He made a lot of these
inappropriate
snide comments about others. Mm-hmm. And now it's going to be turnarounds. What do you call it? Turnabout.
Right,
fair play.
Yeah.
So now everybody's going to get to watch the Democrats eat each other alive, and see who can out socialist one another.
Yeah.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues here on American Family Radio. By the way, if you want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. If you want to watch the show live on the internet, you can go to Facebook or YouTube, and just type in Today's Issues, Facebook or YouTube, and we also include the stories that we talk about here on our Facebook page and other good information. Well, the state of New Mexico has decided to drop Christopher Columbus Day and replace it with Indigenous Peoples Day. This happened a couple of days ago in the Land of Enchantment, as they call it, New Mexico. Well, what's wrong with Christopher Columbus? We're going to talk about that right now. What isn't wrong with Christopher Columbus, what's right about Christopher Columbus. But with Stephen McDowell, our friend from the Providence Foundation, Stephen has studied and written a lot on, obviously, American history and also on Christopher Columbus. And Stephen joins us from Charlottesville, VA. How you doing today, Stephen?
I'm doing great, Tim. Good to be with you.
Hey, did you seen this story?
Well, I did just see that particular one. I, of course, I've known the past few years Columbus has been under attack from many places as a great scourge on Western the hemisphere. So I'm definitely aware of that.
What did Christopher Columbus do that made him so revered by our forefathers?
Well, he was the gentleman who opened up the New World to colonization by Europe, and really, because of that, to Western Christian civilization and recorded history. That is his significant contribution, because of that discovery, then Western Christian civilization later began to come and be planted here in the Western Hemisphere, which is really the source of the great liberty and prosperity that has come out, especially of the United States of America.
But wouldn't he is considered one of the great explorers and discoverers in the history of the world, right?
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, he gave many years of his life to fulfilling a vision he had in his heart. He believed he knew the world was round. He believed he could reach the east by sailing west. And he's clear in his writings, in the log of his first journal, in the book he wrote after his third voyage called Book of Prophecies, he's clear that his major motivation was to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. And the book he wrote, Book of Prophecies, contains hundreds of prophetic scriptures that Columbus believed he was fulfilling. In fact, his name, Christopher, means the Christ bearer. So he was wanting to carry the good news like Jesus told us to do, take the good news to those that have not heard it. That was his primary motivation, and you can glean that from his own words that he wrote.
What is the where are the attacks coming from today against the memory of history of Christopher Columbus? Why are these secular progressives wanting to do things like they did in New Mexico, where they dishonor Christopher Columbus and put up something called Indigenous Peoples Day? We can talk about that in a minute. But what are they claiming that Columbus did that was that negates all the things you just shared with us?
Well, I mean, I think the underlying reason of Columbus and other, you know, Westerners being attacked is really they're attacking the Christian faith. They're attacking Christian civilization. A lot of them don't know that, or they wouldn't say that, but what they are attacking is the worldview, the faith in the God of the Bible. That is really what's under assault. But, you know, a lot of people will say, well, Columbus didn't treat the Indians nicely. He enslaved some of them. He murdered some of them. And, you know, he came to steal and pillage them. But when you look at the assaults, they will take an element of truth, maybe 5%, surround it with 95% lies, and then try to sell it to people who don't know any better. And that certainly happened with Columbus. You know, you might have heard, well, Columbus was rotten because he brought 550 Indians or Native Americans and sold them as slaves in Europe. And he killed some of them. But in a way, that's true. But what's interesting, you know, when Columbus came to the Caribbean, he ran into peaceful natives. In fact, he specifically wrote in his journal that he wanted the Spanish to treat them with respect and not trade, you know, useless things with them. And they liked him, but there was a tribe, they were called Caribs, they were cannibals. These Caribs would attack the peaceful Indians, and they'd been doing it for centuries. They would kill them, they would eat them, and so the peaceful Indians were terrified of the Caribs. These Caribs attacked Columbus. In retaliation, he sent some men and captured 1,600 of them. Now, the peaceful Indians wanted to kill them all. But Columbus said, well, no, wait a minute. So he set 400 free, he gave 650 to the local settlers, and took 550 back to Spain. Now, they were sold as slaves, but they were murderers. They deserved to really be put to death, and if Columbus hadn't saved the 550, they would have been put to death with the other 650 that the peaceful Indians killed because they were their enemies. So here, you know, that's just one story where they took an element of truth. They didn't present the whole story, and they make Columbus out to be an evil man when he really was merciful in that situation.
Yeah. One other thing here that about this story, maybe this is more of a commentary by me than history by you, but this what they've done here, they've taken Columbus Day, and this is in the state of New Mexico, and they're trying to do this around the country, folks, these secular progressives. As Stephen just shared with us, they want to put Western civilization and our Christian heritage under siege. They want to get rid of it. They want to wipe it off the face of the earth, as it were, because of this. Here's this fella out, and I'll quote the motivation for this. His name is, he's a Navajo Nation president, Jonathan Nez, N-E-Z. Anyway, he praised what they did in New Mexico by getting rid of Columbus Day and replacing it with Indigenous Peoples Day. He said, quote, "For many years, indigenous people have protested Columbus Day because it celebrates colonialism, here we go, oppression, and injustice inflicted on indigenous peoples." Nez said in a statement, "Observing Indigenous Peoples Day allows citizens to recognize our rich heritage and represents a step towards healing and growth." I don't know, healing from what? I mean, I don't know what he's healing from what. But here's the thing, Stephen. So the Indigenous peoples, are we talking about Native Americans here? Is that what they, is it the same thing?
Yeah, these are Native Americans. Indigenous are people who were living here when the Europeans arrived.
Okay. All right. And so these people, these Indigenous people, we're talking about all these Native American tribes, right?
That's correct. And there were lots of them throughout right. North and South America.
And they got along wonderfully, didn't they?
Well, you know, the point you're making is that these Indigenous people had more faults and sins than Columbus did. You know, they had
you just bingoed. You just bingoed, Stephen. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Yes.
They had enslaved one another and murdered one another for centuries. You know, the Aztecs set up these ziggurats where they captured the natives around them and they literally cut open their chests, pulled out their hearts. There were myriads of thousands of these people that they sacrificed to their sun gods. The Caribs, I told you the story, were cannibals who ate the peaceful Indians. There were Native Americans that murdered my 8 times great-grandfather, tried to kill his wife and kids. If they had succeeded, I wouldn't have been here today. They tortured many. So, you know, if you're going to get rid of all people celebrating their contributions to the advancement of history, you can't substitute Native Americans or others because they had usually more faults than the ones that we're honoring.
Exactly. That's why this is just ridiculous. Okay, if you're going to get rid of Columbus Day, you know, replace it with Mother Teresa Day or something. I don't know, but don't say that the Indigenous Peoples Day is something worth celebrating if you're not going to include what Stephen just talked about,
right.
And that is the history of savagery that the Indian tribes exhibited against one another that went on for centuries. So anyway. All right, well, listen, Stephen, where give us your information, the Providence Foundation, and where can people go and read more about this kind of thing?
Well, providencefoundation.com is our website, and we've got providencefoundation.com. We have many, many free articles and other things that people mm-hmm. can read to get a picture of, to tell the rest of the story of history that the modern historians and academics leave out, and many books and materials that people can pick up to sell as well. So providencefoundation.com will keep somebody busy for a long time.
Hey, thanks, Stephen. Appreciate it very much.
All right. Bless you guys.
Okay, thank you. I should have said go UVA because Stephen's he lives in Charlottesville. And
he's a Cavalier.
Virginia's in the Final Four. By the way, mm-hmm. were Cavaliers good people?
Well,
some of them, right?
Depending on who you ask in New Mexico.
Well, Cavaliers, were they, they weren't pirates, were they? Ray, do you know?
I don't know, but go Auburn.
Well, oh, Tigers. Okay. Well, Tigers are very aggressive animals.
Yes, they are.
And they kill people sometimes and other animals. So we might want to look into doing away with
Eagles
that.
Eagles also prey on people. They have war.
That's right.
There,
so.
Yeah. What else?
They got two predators.
Texas Tech.
Red Raiders. I mean, you know.
Raider, that is not something to celebrate. Raiding other people?
One day we're all going to wear a tan and get a trophy.
We're probably indigenous. And here we have Red Raiders looting their homes. I think this is wrong. It should be changed.
We got to do something about this.
We'll be back in a minute.
We got nothing but Italians on this show.
We're changing lives one question at a time.
Trivia Friday is educational programming.
What big cat
can't roar.
That's pathetic.
The mime cat. I've seen them. They got those white gloves on their paws.
You use milk to sweeten your breath.
In the first century.
What happened when the milk soured?
You got trouble.
Yeah, right that's there. A good.
See, you don't get a second date. I'll just tell you that right now.
Trivia Friday, 10 a.m. Central on American Family Radio.
You get the soil ready.
You put the seeds in and then you water it.
How do you plant a garden?
I don't know.
You pray that God will give you a good harvest.
Then you have to work it to get all the weeds away.
And then God brings the plants.
Planting a garden takes planning, hard work, and God's blessing. So does creating a lasting legacy for the people and charities that mean the most to you. The AFA Foundation is here to help you sow the financial seeds God has blessed you with in order for them to blossom for generations to come. We do this by offering free consultation and assistance in the areas of charitable gift annuities, estate planning, will and trust planning, and bequests. To learn more, call 800-326-4543, extension 345, 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. New York City is banking on cash. That story next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. Some of New York City's hottest restaurants no longer take cash, and that has city leaders fighting mad. The city council's considering a bill that would ban restaurants from refusing cash. The famed Gramercy Tavern, for example, is happy to take your credit card, but not your Benjamin's. City leaders say that's a form of discrimination against what they call the unbanked, as in they don't have a bank account. Their argument is poor people, the homeless, and illegals do not have access to debit or credit cards. Restaurant owners say cash management takes about 2 hours a day. That's a big chunk of their time. But let's say Gramercy Tavern did allow customers to pay with cash. I doubt too many homeless people would be willing to fork over $36 for their cheeseburger. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and Chris Woodward. He's filling in for Fred today, and Dr. Ray Pritchard, Bay's in Kansas City. The three of us here are in Tupelo, MS. We thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Ray, your thoughts on what Stephen shared a few minutes ago. You know, history's messy, and most people in history, while they may have achieved great things, they're not always perfect people, what's going on today, like with this getting rid of Columbus Day to adopt Indigenous Peoples Day? It just seems like you have these secular progressives just wanting to wipe out Christian history.
Well, they're trying to take the eraser and erase a big part of our history. Christopher Columbus was a good man. He believed he was exactly what Stephen McDowell said. He was trying to fulfill the prophecies of the Bibles. He understood them. He was a liberator. He was the first man to bring, to find here in the Western Hemisphere, a whole part of the world the people in Europe didn't know existed. I don't think there's anything wrong with honoring, quote, indigenous people, Native Americans. But you don't have to take away from a man like Christopher Columbus in order to do that. And if you do that, say, as they've done out in New Mexico, you're just pretending that you're making things right. Christopher Columbus stands. His record is secure. And You're doing a disservice to future generations when you pretend that you, just because you've erased his name, you have not taken away his place in history. This is political correctness run amok.
Duly noted. Hey, one other thing before we move into Jan Markell. You did some research during our break.
Exhaustive research.
So what did you find out?
I went to my favorite dictionary, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. The definition of cavalier, folks. This is free non-Friday trivia stuff for you. A cavalier means a gentleman trained in arms and horsemanship, or a mounted soldier, or someone who supports Charles I of England.
Okay, well, the reason we're researching this is because I've got a real problem with the Final Four men's basketball tournament celebrating people of aggression that harm others, and such as Red Raiders should not be allowed.
Spartans, Michigan State.
Oh, that is so wrong. What did Spartans do to people? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Go back and look.
Sure.
Okay, go back and look. And then you've got Tigers, Auburn. Tigers maul people every day around the world.
Right.
And then, now Cavaliers, maybe, I don't know, that's kind of neutral right there. But they do wield a sword, and I'm just saying.
And you got Red Raiders. I mean, that's just out of control,
right.
Jim.
Do we really need any more sword wielding in our society today? We need gun control. We need sword control.
Sword control.
And to promote these kinds of mascots is just wrong. And that's my commentary for today. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, we have a big election coming up in Israel, right, Chris?
We do. We do. It's coming up April 9th, I believe. So we will certainly be here with updates on that. But do we have our guests here, Brent? All right. Well, if I may, we have someone on now to talk with
Not
us.
Not just anyone.
About the Israel elections. It's a very familiar voice, certainly one of our most appreciated programs here on American Family Radio. We've got Jan Markell of Olive Tree Ministries. Good morning, Jan.
Well, thank you for having me. Good to be with you.
Tell us what is exactly coming up next week in Israel, please.
Well, I think it's a historic election, and I think it's historic because what's happening to Benjamin Netanyahu is it's kind of mirrored in the United States, and that is tremendous pushback against the current leader. There's pushback against Donald Trump, and there's pushback against Benjamin Netanyahu. But I think in the election of April 9th, I do think the Likud party, and that is who folks vote for. They vote for a party, not really. They vote for a coalition. A coalition has multiple parties rather than necessarily a person. But Benjamin Netanyahu is the front runner. He's the visible person in that coalition, and I do think he will win. He's been kind of labeled with a lot of some corruption charges. I can't speak to those, but I think he will prevail.
Well, the other fellow who's running against him, well, it's not a fellow, it's a party, as you say. It's hard for Americans to understand the, is it a parliamentarian form of government? Is that what it is, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Tim.
Such as they have in Great Britain?
Yes, correct.
Okay. So that's not what we're used to here in America. We have every 2 years, every 4 years, every 6 years in the case of a senator. But are these kinds of elections, do you know, Jan, like in Israel, are they set, predated, or do they arise because of circumstances that happen politically? Or both?
In my observation, they seem to arise kind of almost unexpectedly.
Right.
And just what would be the circumstances behind that, since I don't live there, I'm not 100% sure. But there seems to be a crisis, and then all of a sudden an election is called for, which puts these men like Netanyahu on edge at all times because he can, you know, make a misstep, and suddenly they're calling for a new election. Now, here's the thing. He's very popular over there. I mean, in a sense, because he's kind of a clone of Donald Trump. I mean, the two of them are nationalists. The two of them want to protect their country. The two of them have leftists pushing against them who, quite frankly, are not the, let's just say, who are not the protectors of their nations the way these two men are. And they're just some stunning parallels. And these two men are very good friends, and have been for years and years. Mm-hmm. But I think all of that said and done, and it is very tense over there because this election turned very ugly. The prominent person pushing back against Gantz, is his name, turned it very ugly. And I mean, there's one accusation after another accusation. In the end, I will be surprised. You know, Benjamin Netanyahu is the longest-serving prime minister. It was interrupted for a number of years, but served in the 90s, came back in 2008 or 9, and just has been a solid leader for Israel, and the Israelis know it.
Yeah. We'll see what happens there. It is very important, and I think most Americans would hope that Benjamin Netanyahu is reelected, and for the reasons you've mentioned, security, safety, mm-hmm. and their
security.
Relation.
Well, look who their neighbors are. They've got some ISIS remaining in Syria. Right. They got Syria. They've got Palestinians. They got Hamas. They got Iran
right.
breathing down their neck. I mean, that is a rough neighborhood. And unless you have the right leader, I mean, great harm can come to right. you.
Jan, your program this weekend here that airs here on American Family Radio called Understanding the Times, very popular with our listeners. What can you tell us what your topic's going to be?
Well, I think this will be of interest to your listeners, Tim. I attended, believe it or not, I attended a local pagan festival 2 weeks ago. It's called Paganicon, and it was witches, it was New Agers, it was everybody who believes in dark things. I attended for an evening, and my radio guest attended for a weekend as plants. We didn't reveal who we were, and we're going to report on this. The pagan invasion of America is stunning and not in a good way, of course. Hmm. So we're going to talk about it and give some warnings to listeners and tell them how they can push back against the pagan invasion.
You can join Jan for this topic on her program, Understanding the Times, which plays here on American Family Radio at noon on Sundays, mm-hmm. Central Time, and 11 on Saturdays, Central Time. Is that correct?
1 o'clock.
I mean,
Saturday.
One, rather. Yeah. 1 o'clock Saturday here on American Family Radio, or noon Sunday, Central Time. Again, don't miss Jan's show, Understanding the Times, here on American Family Radio. Thank you, Jan.
Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's Jan Markell joining us from the land of 10,000 lakes that are unfreezing now, or thawing out. The land of 10,000 thawing out lakes. And the beautiful state of Minnesota.
I've never been. I've heard it gets humid there, though, in the summertime.
I went in September one time to Minnesota.
Must be.
And it was gorgeous.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
And we went out riding on the St. Croix River.
Yeah,
out there it's a beautiful state. Just you can just put X's by the months of December, January,
right,
February,
right.
and mm-hmm. don't.
Yeah, my wife is from Indiana and Northern Indiana, and it's beautiful there in early summer, late spring, right. early summer. I've told her whenever we can, we're going to buy a home up there to summer in. But, you know, they can have the winter.
Oh, it gets hot and humid in the upper Midwest.
Oh, yeah. Mosquitoes. You know, yeah, you know, they still battle some issues.
It can get just like it can here in the Deep South for some of summertime there in those mm-hmm. states. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Now with us is Dr. Alex McFarlane, heard each afternoon here on AFR on the program Exploring the Word. 3:05 Central Time each weekday afternoon with Brother Bert Harper. Alex and Bert are continually going through the Bible, and so it's a live Bible study on the air, and they field questions, too, from folks listening across the country. And we welcome Alex to Today's Issues. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, everybody.
Okay, I wanted you and Ray, to talk about this topic here. Because you guys have studied biblical history and somewhat archaeology, although you probably wouldn't call yourself experts on that. But I tell you what, Ray, why don't you pose the first question to Brother Alex on this?
Well, Alex, you know, in the news the last few days, some very exciting little tiny seals been dug up in Jerusalem, but it made news all around the world. Can you bring us up to date? What exactly was dug up, and what's the significance of those little seals that the archaeologists have found?
Wow. Well, thanks, Ray, and thanks, Tim, and it's always an honor to be on. And, you know, one of the things that has been of great excitement for Bible believers over the last, you know, decades, 50 to 100 years, have been how continually, over and over, archaeology has proven what the Bible says and affirmed what the Bible says. And never has an archaeological discovery mitigated against the Bible. Archaeological discoveries always affirm the Bible. And so, you know, from the city of Jericho, city of Nineveh, Babylon, Megiddo, you know, the tomb of Joseph, the city of Tyre, I mean, over and over, archaeological discoveries affirm and underscore what the Bible says. Now, there's a discovery in the news this week about a seal from an aide to the biblical king Josiah, and this is from, you know, 800 years before the birth of Christ, and it's been found in what's called the City of David, which is an area outside the walls of the old city. I've been to the City of David several times, and so it's a seal that says it belongs to Ichar, son of Matanyahu, but it's basically Nathan Melech, servant to the king. And so this is somebody referenced in 2 Kings as an official in the court of King Josiah. And so this might not sound all that significant, but it really is, because yet another circumstance and person from the Old Testament is verified by what archaeologists have discovered.
Well, Alex, if we stand back and just look at what you said, and it's thrilling, and we could go for a long time talking about the different things that have been found. What's your comment to some Christians who might say, "Hey, why should we even care about a little seal dug up an attendant or a servant, somebody in the court of King Josiah? I believe in Jesus; He's my Savior. I don't need archaeology to back up my faith." How would you answer somebody like that? Because I think in some ways that might be a common point of view.
Well, you know, archaeology and what we would call these external proofs of the Bible, I think they've got value both for believers and for non-believers. Because, you know, one thing about the Bible, we believe, and traditional Christian orthodoxy believes, that the Bible is completely the Word of God. It's not a mishmash of some divine and some error. No, God can't lie. God can't make a mistake. And Jesus, over and over, affirmed the authenticity of Scripture. I think about John 10:35, where Jesus said the Scripture cannot be broken. And Matthew 24:35, Jesus said heaven and earth would pass away, but my word will never pass away. And in fact, Jesus really even affirmed the what are called diacritical marks, not one jot or tittle. In other words, Jesus was saying, look, the words and the punctuation itself is of God. So to the Christian, we need to have great comfort and confidence that, yes, this is completely the Word of God. But to the non-Christian, I would say, look, this is compelling. The Bible has been shown to be historically accurate, objectively, factually accurate, time and time and time again. You know, earlier I mentioned like the city of Ur, which is, you know, where Abraham came from. And it was, you know, 200 years ago, they said, well, you know, that's just a myth. There never was such a place as Ur. And then they excavated the city of Ur, which had ziggurats, which are similar to what the Tower of Babel would have resembled. And, you know, Babylon. And do you know what? There was a time when they said that Moses couldn't have written the first five books of the Bible because writing didn't exist at the time of Moses. It was theorized. And then they realized that writing existed 1,000 years before the birth of Moses. My point being this, time and again, the record of archaeology has confirmed the narrative of Scripture. And,
you know, that,
and go ahead.
Let me ask you about that word. I was just, before you said, I was thinking about it. I suppose there's a difference between saying that archaeology proves the Bible is true versus archaeology confirms the truth of the Bible. Could you expatiate on that just a little bit?
Great word there. And let's be precise here, because a proof is something, you know, there's what we would call a mathematical proof and then a statistical proof. Mathematically, you can't prove the Bible is true, but you can't prove mathematically that Ronald Reagan was president in 1984. I mean, math can tell you the tensile strength of a rope or at what temperature a piece of metal could melt. But when we're talking about history, anything of history, from something a decade ago or a millennia ago, we're talking about what's called statistical proof or cumulative confirmation. And the likelihood that this all this is true is overwhelmingly compelling and very, very likely because of what's called the propensity of evidence. All of this evidence that comes together, and it's an incredible cumulative case. And let me just say this. Will Durant, who was a great historian, and he wrote an award-winning 24-volume set, The History of Civilization. Will Durant was a PhD, and he got the Presidential Medal of Freedom, and his work, The History of Civilization, has been called one of the most significant works of history in all of history. And Will Durant, he said this, that the case for the Bible is so compelling that he said, if we're going to reject the historicity of Old and New Testaments, then you're going to have to reject, quote, 100 other ancient people and events that no credible historian would dream of questioning. Socrates, Hammurabi. And Durant was saying this, look, we have more reason to trust the Bible if we're going to trust these other, the Caesars and the Greeks and the Romans that really don't have nearly the confirmation that the Bible has. My point is this, if we're going to be consistent, for those that are skeptical and would say, well, you can't trust the Bible, then basically you're going to have to say you can't know anything about the ancient world. And of course, no thinking historian would say that. So it's not a proof in the sense of, you know, 2 + 2 = 4, but in terms of how we adjudicate what we know about history, the Bible has it in spades.
We're talking to Dr. Alex McFarland. You can listen to Alex each afternoon here on American Family Radio with his co-host, Brother Bert Harper, as Bert and Alex go through the Bible in a live over-the-air Bible study, and they interact with you, listeners. And the name of the show is Exploring the Word. So make sure this afternoon you join our brothers at 3:05 Central Time for that show. I wanted to switch. You got? Can you stay with us 7 or 8 more minutes, Alex?
Yes, sir. Anything.
Okay, I wanted to ask you a question, switching topics here, but staying in the Old Testament. Allison, my wife, and I were going through the Old Testament with this app that I'm using, which is, again, Bible IS, which is absolutely wonderful, Bible.is. But we've come to the book of Nehemiah, and before that was, what was that right before that? Was it Ezra?
Ezra.
Okay. So there's been two temples, right, in Jerusalem. The third yet to come,
right.
prophetically, Jewish temples in Jerusalem. So the first one was Solomon's temple, true?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the second one was built under Nehemiah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or Ezra. And then what I'm getting at here is, but then some, if you go to Israel, they will refer to it as Herod's temple, which came hundreds of years after Nehemiah and Ezra. So the second temple was really built prior to Herod, and he expanded it. Is that, I don't want to overcomplicate, I guess what I'm asking you, what is considered the time period for the second temple's building?
Well, you know, it was really kind of restored during Herod about, you know, 40 AD.
So you would use that word restored.
I mean, 40 BC, yeah.
You would use the word restored. So the construction of the second temple was when?
Oh,
I'm going to say. Ray, jump in there if you want.
Yeah, jump in. Help me out here. Something like 400 to 500 BC.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Built during Ezra's time, Zerubbabel, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was, you know, when it was rebuilt, Alex, you remember, it wasn't nearly as impressive as Solomon's temple, but then
and
the centuries
wept.
Passed. Right, they wept. And then here comes King Herod, and he turns it into this a magnificent edifice,
which is
what was there when Jesus was right. walking the earth.
Right.
And Herod wasn't even, I mean, he was half Jew, mm-hmm. right?
So he yeah, he was half yeah. Jew. And, you know, it was almost politicized. It was partly to placate the Jewish people to restore and rebuild the temple. But then he kind of aggrandized it for himself. It became kind of a trophy for himself and
right.
representative of his power.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I was, you know, understanding this right, that the second temple was constructed during Ezra's time.
Yeah. And, you know... it was ransacked, the city of Jerusalem, which has had at least a dozen besiegements during its history, and in AD 70 was torn up and the stones were thrown down. And, you know, if you're there at that western wall, you can see, you know, big shards of rock that are jutting up out of the ground nearby where the Roman attack of AD 70, you know, they tore it all up. And we believe that it will be rebuilt, a third temple, mm-hmm. or, you know, fourth temple if you count what Herod did, but a third temple. And this third temple will be desecrated by the Antichrist. And so,
mm-hmm.
as people often say, keep your eyes on Jerusalem because yeah. God's not done with Jerusalem or the Jewish people.
Yeah, so those, as we look at the Western Wall, or also called the Wailing Wall, are the remains of Herod's temple. That's what we're looking at. When we take our folks over there, you can even go live stream. You can type in live video cam for the Western Wall right now. And that's why the Jews go there and worship there. The Orthodox Jews mainly is because that's the what's left of the last temple that they had at that site. Listen, Alex, thanks so much, brother, for being on with us. Appreciate your work and, you know, on all these issues, and just look forward to having you on this afternoon and hearing what you and Bert have to study. What are you going to be talking about this afternoon?
Well, we're in Colossians chapter 2. Bert and I are going through the book of Colossians, so we're going to continue going through that. And a big part of Colossians is the deity of Christ and all that we have in Christ. I do want to say a word, if I could, about Truth for a New Generation. We do all these things to equip young people to defend their faith, and we've got a camp we do every summer, and conferences in Richmond and Columbus and Fayetteville. We're going to be in Fayetteville May 3, 4, and 5 with Josh McDowell and myself. And so just appreciate the incredible, incredible partnership with AFR of me being on the air.
You mean I can go to one of these? This is registration's open to the public now?
Oh, yeah, man.
Okay, how do I do that?
Go to truthforanewgeneration.com, truthforanewgeneration.com. We're coming soon to a city near you.
What are the ones you're coming to next, though?
Fayetteville. The next one is a month from this weekend in Fayetteville at Rockfish Church.
Fayetteville, Arkansas.
North Carolina.
North Carolina, because there's two Fayettevilles that listen to
AFR. Very true.
And what were the other places?
Columbus, Ohio this fall, Richmond, Virginia. We're also going to be doing a camp in July. So okay. It's all at truthfornewgeneration.com.
All right. Hey, thanks, Brother Alex.
Love you guys. Thanks.
Okay, you too, man. That's Dr. Alex McFarland. We shall continue with this show in 5 minutes after the news. Chris, thank you for your contributions
you,
today.
Sir.
Walker and I shall return with Steve Jordahl and Ray in, as I say, 5 minutes. We'll see you back here then.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.